Friday on a Friday. Write to us at MyNorthwest.com. Text as well. Come on in to the State Roofing text line at 98973. All are welcome. Tom taking a day off, so that means it's Stephen Sondheim Friday, where we play bump music from Stephen Sondheim. I sent one to Sean. Did you get that last one?
Yes, I did, John. Yeah, you want it just coming in?
No. Pace yourself. We'll do it again later. I'm having it. There we go. Sherry joins us from Washington, D.C. A woman has absolutely nothing better to do on Fridays. I hope Cairo is kicking in a couple of bucks to you every once in a while for all this. Are you getting a little something on the side? Getting your beak wet, as they say? Yeah, okay. All right.
I get a roll of pennies every once in a while. Sure.
Okay. All right. Nothing wrong with that there. Okay. The CDC continuing to warn us about, you know, you're going to travel. We hope you don't travel. Please don't travel. This is like you know, not my mom, but other people's moms. I've seen that Duffy Oldhouse's mom was always like, yeah, well, you know, guys, watch out and be careful. Put your eye out. It's like, what? Put your eye out. We're playing Parcheesi. What are you talking about? You know, just always on edge. You guys with your crazy horseplay. This is your director announcing new recommendations for travel. I can't wait for this lockdown stuff to get behind us so we never hear from the CDC again. But here they are again, always letting us know, we advise.
We now have several newly released studies documenting the real-world effectiveness of COVID-19 vaccines. So today we are releasing an update to our guidance for fully vaccinated people. Specifically, the new guidance today speaks to travel. We state that fully vaccinated people can resume travel at low risk to themselves. For domestic travel, fully vaccinated people do not need to get a COVID-19 test before or after travel and do not need to self-quarantine after travel. For example, fully vaccinated grandparents can fly to visit their healthy grandkids without getting a COVID-19 test or self-quarantining, provided they follow the other recommended prevention measures while traveling.
Okay. All right. Nag. I've been flying since the whole thing started, right, Jacob? I was flying in April. I flew April, May throughout the entire summer and flew. And everybody has their masks on. It is the most ridiculous procedure. It is the kabuki theater of before you get on the plane, everybody is 6 feet apart, and they keep warning everybody. Sherry, have you flown recently? Like in the last, since this whole lockdown thing?
Yeah. No, I haven't. I flew actually last August. That was the last time I flew to Tennessee, and there was no social distancing on the plane at all.
Yes. So there, you stand there at the gate, and they keep hawking on everybody to stay 6 feet apart. So everybody's 6 feet apart. And then they want you to get on the plane, but they don't want you to take too long to get on the plane. So then they do this weird thing. It's like, allow the person in front of you to get their stuff in the overhead, right? Well, you know how it is. People are practically crawling through your sweater, coming out through the collar of your shirt to get through you to get it to the next seat, right? They're coming through your pants. So the same thing happens. Once you get on the plane, nobody's 6 feet apart. People are bumping into each other and putting the overhead thing. And so what was happening just 5 minutes earlier out there before we got on, it is gone, and now everybody is sitting there, and then the poor flight attendant has to walk around and keep warning people in between sips, please put your mask back on, even though that the air that is being circulated and being purified in the plane is similar to, if not cleaner than, or as clean as a surgical suite. But we all have to keep the facade going so that we all stay scared to death, so that the government continues to have control over us. I know I sound like a crazy person, but... No, but I sound like a crazy person. I just realized. I had no defense. Sure, I was waiting for you to come in and save me from myself.
I respect your opinion. You know, I am very pro vaccination, though. I really am. I mean, I think it's so important. And I've gotten my first vaccine, so I was very happy about being able to get that. I do have a question for you, John. If are you in some way, though, be honest, in some way, aren't you a little more relieved that people have been vaccinated when you travel? Doesn't that set your mind at ease ever so slightly that you won't get COVID because there are so many people now that have been vaccinated?
No, it doesn't. It has no effect.
No, no, not at all.
No. No, I don't. I didn't have any second thoughts about traveling before. I have no second thoughts now. If you've got vaccinated, good. I just, the number that I doubt that this big thing is, according to the CDC, 53% of transmission comes from asymptomatic. They don't really know that. That's the data thing. That's a point. So you don't know you have it. They believe that people that don't know they have it, but they have it. Transmission is 53% from asymptomatic to somebody else. So you don't, you're walking around talking to Joe, and Joe's like, hey, how you doing there? Sorry about that. And they'd cough, and then, oh my God, you give it to the other person. I don't know what the percentage is. We don't know what it is, but no. I even told Jacob this story a little while ago. I sat next to this lady, and she took off her mask. She was from Texas, and she told me her whole life story without her mask on. And about halfway in, I'm like, I think my immune system can handle this old lady. And she was, you know, telling me the story of her sad life of her story. And no, it doesn't bother me. Just here we go. There's 700 trillion viruses out there. I know this one is deadly for people that are over a certain age, comorbidity, overweight. I'm like, check, 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 check. I think I'm okay on all those. And no concern. Long answer.
You don't have any. You have no interest whatsoever in getting the vaccine at any point in your life. You don't think you need it because you think that you're healthy enough to survive the virus if you get it.
Yes.
Do you feel any obligation to get it because you want to protect
no,
other people?
Not at all. No, no. Go get it. You need it? Go get it. No, I'm not going to get the vaccine for you. By the way, people don't get the vaccine for other people. People get the vaccine for themselves. People got the flu shot for themselves, so they didn't get sick. People don't do stuff. People do not get the vaccine. Maybe older people, or maybe people that are close to their mom or grandpa or papa or doo-doo or nunu, whatever you call your grandparents. But people, they're getting it for themselves. And I think most people do. And we had this discussion, Tom and I, back in April. Was, do people wear a mask to protect others from a virus? I mean, from a cold or a virus that people used to wear masks? Or is it protecting themselves?
Well, I think it's both. And I think that it's, you know, if you've had the vaccination, I agree. It does seem like some of these things that they're talking about are you know, in counter to one another. I mean, if you've gotten the vaccine, you're fully vaccinated, why should you wear a mask? But I guess that's because, one, there are variants out there that are very contagious and that are possibly more deadly. And number two, they have these breakthrough cases now where people that have been vaccinated are getting sick anyway. So if you can protect yourself even more, why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah, well, then wear a mask all the time. When I went to France to do the Ironman in 2009, I remember flying in, and certainly, and these are like the fittest people in the world are getting off the plane, and they're wearing masks. And the reason you're wearing a mask is because you have your immune system is compromised because of the amount of training that you do, right? And you train for 9 months and you get off and you don't want to have gotten a cold or something like that and then be sick for the Ironman. So I used to see all these guys cutting off in these super duper great shape and they're all wearing masks. I'm thinking, I should probably wear one of those because they're wearing them. But that was because they are going to give anybody anything. They didn't want to get something gross from somebody else while they're on a plane flying, you know, long distance. Here is a perfect example of this. Who's this lady, Jacob? I sent this to you. I was so excited. And then you pooped all over. Who is this person?
Her name is Dr. Lena Wen, and she's she has all sorts of jobs, but she's a CNN medical analyst.
Okay. This, to me, is the real
My
story.
Main concern is that we're not going to reach herd immunity because of vaccine hesitancy. And I know that's hard for a lot of people to believe who desperately want the vaccine right now. And they're thinking, oh, well, it's just a small percentage of people who are actually anti-vaxxers. And that's true. There is the anti-science, anti-vaxxer contingent.
Okay. It's not anti-science and anti-vaxxer. And I'll let it
But I think that there are many more people, millions of people, who, for whatever reason, have concerns about the vaccine, who just don't know what's in it for them. And we need to make it clear to them that the vaccine is the ticket back to pre-pandemic life. And the window to do that is really narrowing. I mean, you were mentioning, Chris, about how all these states are reopening. They're reopening at 100%. And we have a very narrow window to tie reopening policy to vaccination status. Because...
Okay, did you get that? We have a very narrow opening to tie vaccine open to openings and vaccines, right? Because she wants to manipulate
Otherwise,
your behavior.
If everything is reopened, then what's the carrot going to be? How are we going to incentivize people to actually get the vaccine? So that's why I think the CDC and the Biden administration needs to come out a lot bolder and say, if you're vaccinated, you can do all these things. Here are all these freedoms that you have. Because otherwise,
people
are going to go out and enjoy these freedoms anyway. And I fear a situation of coming into the fall where we never reach herd immunity. And then we get hit by the next surge of COVID-19 in the fall, something that we could have prevented if we just got people vaccinated now.
Is she saying fall or phone? It sounds like phone.
Fall.
Okay. First of all, so we're going to get our freedoms back when everybody gets vaccinated.
Right. I mean, she doesn't mean constitutional freedoms. What she's talking about, obviously, is day-to-day freedoms, being able to go to a restaurant, being able to meet with your friends, have a party, have a backyard barbecue, those kinds of things.
Yeah. Yeah. You mean live our life.
Right.
Yeah. The number of people that have had COVID, which they believe to be in the state of Washington, it's just the state of Washington, cases, 366,000 cases. You got it. Your body kicked in. You got over it. Maybe you did some hospital time, whatever else. 366,000 people. 5,000 people died. So that means 366,000 people have herd immunity in the state of Washington because their body has the antibodies, T cells and B cells, in order to fight this thing off. Then we also kick in, I don't know how many people who are in the state of Washington have also gotten the vaccine. So that's also part of it. So you look at the overall number of cases in the United States of people that have had it, cases, right? And then you say, okay, well, then those people are as good as vaccinated people because their body has learned to deal with it, gone through the virus and all the other stuff that went with it. So you have to include that in there. And in order to get to herd immunity, what do we say? 70 to 80% of the total population. So we might be already there because there's so many people that had the virus, didn't even know they had the virus. That number could be as high as 10 times what the CDC thinks is officially on the record. Do you think I'm selfish by not getting the vaccine, Sherry?
And
careful with this answer, because this could be the last Friday you ever do on the show.
Right. You and Stephen Sondheim might be doing it. No, I don't think you're selfish. I do wonder, though, about your courage toward the whole thing, because for me, you know, half a million people have died. It was the third leading cause of death, they said yesterday. There are people getting sick. There are long-term implications of having this virus. People are having organ failure and things like that.
Yep.
And I personally, and even though, yes, the overwhelming majority of these people have comorbidities and they have other pre-existing conditions that would make them more susceptible to greater disease, I don't want to be the outlier. I don't want to be the one that, you know, there is that person out there that gets it, that doesn't know how they got it, and they get really, really sick, and they're sick for months and months and months. I don't want to take that risk. So I guess I don't think you're selfish. I just wonder about your risk taking, if you've thought that through, and I'm sure you have.
No, I didn't. I just look at it this way. I'm looking at a photo of my mother right now. I am so much to the point of contrarian that I appear to be slightly unstable mentally. And I said this in the pre-show, and there was an uncomfortable silence from both you and Jacob, and then Jacob tried to change the subject by bringing up Rick Riz and how he got into baseball.
and Ross.
Yes, and Ross. That I remember driving down the road and I heard Barack Obama talking about the fact that America is no more exceptional than any other country. and that other countries believe they are exceptional as well. And America is just basically just one more country. And I thought at that point, screw you. What? And I think then later on, they were talking about climate change and stuff. What can I do to say, no, I disagree with that. I think America is exceptional. I know what I'll do. I'll kill two birds with one stone. A little sort of motto Tom likes to use all the time. I will show that America is exceptional and screw on this climate change thing. And I went out and bought a Corvette the next day. So, and it was my way of just buying an expensive American-made car that used a lot of gas in a totally insane, contrarian way to what I'm being told. So when Inslee...
Let's wear a mask, Washingtonians. If you love somebody, wear a mask.
And I'm like, you know what? Because you're telling me to do it...
Just do it. You wear a mask and be a cut it up.
I'm not going to get it. I'm not...
Okay.
And that's it. And I'm going to give up. I'm going to give up both my sense of smell and taste.
Right.
I'll give that up right now. I'm going to give it up right now.
So you're a rebel with a cause. Which when you drove the Corvette, did you tell people that's why you did it? When they said, "Wow, you got a new car. What made you decide to get this kind of car?"
No.
Did you tell them that story?
No.
So it was just self-satisfaction.
Yeah. They knew.
Okay.
They knew from the look in my eye because it was crazy look.
I also want to say, just for Sherry's benefit, I wouldn't put a whole lot of stock in John saying that he'll give up his sense of taste. He famously once ate a congealed ball of pasta with no hesitation because he doesn't care about how things taste anyway. So I would just say it's not a big sacrifice for him to give up his olfactory senses.
As much as I appreciate that. That you're speaking to the character of me, I say that it wasn't just once. It was an ongoing thing that I realized.
Oh.
So what I would do is I would make a thing of pasta, shake it out, form it into a ball, and then I realized this is a handy treat, like a dinner, that I can eat at any time. And I remember one time I was late for an auction, made myself a ball of pasta, mixed it, you know, pushed it to like a size of a softball, and was in the shower eating it while showering.
What? Gross. Wait, what kind of pasta did you use to
move
bake
on.
The ball?
We don't need to deal with it. We don't need to talk about it now.
Is this like elbow macaroni?
What was it?
No,
it was
just
tell
pasta.
Us that.
It's just regular pasta right here.
No, there's like 18 different versions of pasta.
What does it say on the box?
Oh, certain versions can be eaten in the shower and others can't?
No. Well,
spaghetti.
I've never...
Thick
spaghetti.
Thick spaghetti.
So you made a ball
and reached
of spaghetti.
Macaroni. Yeah, yeah.
Did you dip it in any sauce or anything? Or just you ate it just like...
No, I'm eating it in the shower. Don't be ridiculous.
Do you roll it in butter, then eat it in the shower? I don't know. Okay, you know what? I don't care.
Tom, come back, Tom.
Watch it, rush,
Sweetie
watch
Todd, Tom.
You gave me such a fright. I thought you was a ghost. Stop a minute, Tom. Just sit you down. All I know is that I haven't seen a customer for weeks. Did you come here for a pie, sir? Do forgive me if me head's a little vague. What is that? But you think we had the plague?
Missed it, Sherry. He missed a...
He rushed out so fast.
Yeah, he didn't even hear. Sean, you should have played a little earlier for him. All right, Sherry filling in for Tom.
Life's not perfect, John.
Yeah.
Life's not perfect, and we're discovering that right now. Kids, if
right
you're listening,
now, you.
Life's not perfect, and neither
hey,
are you.
Hey, Sean, let's give the kids... No, hey, that's not fair to do to the kids. All right, Sherry fills in for Tom on a Friday. Appreciate that. Sherry, the news is that we here in Seattle could possibly get some of these federal dollars for infrastructure. This is a piece from the Seattle Times. Did you get a chance to look this baby over?
Yeah, it's a little complicated because, you know, you don't know, first of all, if this $2.3 trillion proposed thing is going to pass, you know, with Biden and everything. He proposed this, of course, this week. But there's a couple of aspects of this that Washington, the state of Washington, could really do well. There's a woman named Maria Cantwell, who's a Democrat from Washington, and she was talking about some things at a hearing this month. And one of the things that she talked about was, she said, in my hometown, Edmonds, Washington, a train blocked the only access on the waterfront for 3 hours. This required first responders to literally crawl through the rail cars to aid a pregnant woman who was about to give birth. So she's hoping for some money to go to railway stuff. She's saying that there's she also wants to reduce the congestion that could hinder $443 billion in goods that go through the rail area. There's public transit, $85 billion to modernize existing transit and help agencies expand their systems. Of course, there's 20,000 miles of highway that Biden wants to also try to fix, and the high-speed rail. You know, high-speed rail, they want $80 billion for that.
Yeah. Let me explain why all of this is complete nonsense. First of all, the federal government only owns 7% of highways. The nation's infrastructure is owned by the federal government. Federal government has zero money, is unable to produce money. All money comes from the states. The state has everything else. 93% of all infrastructure is state. What happens is the state wants stuff to get to the point that it's in pretty bad shape that they can apply for federal dollars. So the state puts things off. I saw it happen when I was on the city council. We had a particular road. We said, you know what? If it gets a little worse, we can get federal dollars and we won't have to pay for it. When you do that, you're making your neighbor in Minnesota or Iowa or Florida or somewhere else pay for your problems. What it does, it causes states to allow things to fall into dilapidated states, even though our infrastructure is not crumbling. They like to say that. So what happens, what they should really do is get all federal dollars away from. Stop this idea of telling states, put stuff off and let the federal dollars, let your neighbors in Oregon pay for your problems. It's a state highway. Let state dollars pay for it. Because when you take the dollar out of Jacob's pocket, and I wasn't going to say Sean's, and Sean has any money, but Jacob's pocket, and it goes to Washington, D.C., you're increasing the cost of that project by about 30%. You're delaying the construction by about 5 years. So this idea of the federal government coming in and creating 19 million jobs to save our crumbling infrastructure is a crock of crap. Let the states take care of their own highways with their own dollars, because it is their responsibility. And don't make the good people of name a state, Colorado, come in and fix our problems. But this is the idea that good jobs and good people making good roads and all that other nonsense.
We start with one rule. No one, we say it again, no one making under $400,000 will see their federal taxes go up, period. This is not about penalizing anyone. I have nothing against millionaires and billionaires. I believe American capitalism. I want everyone to do well. But here's the deal. Right now, a middle-class couple, a firefighter and a teacher, with two kids making a combined salary of, say, $110,000, $120,000 a year, pays 22 cents for each additional dollar they earn in federal income tax. But a multinational corporation that builds a factory abroad, brings it home and sells it, they pay nothing at all.
Okay. All right. I don't know why he's comparing a fireman to a corporation, but this has now gotten some news because the president has said over and over again that, is it nobody or no one, anybody making over $400,000. So if you're sitting here thinking, okay, I don't make $400,000. 1.5% of all taxpayers make over $400,000. It's very tiny. If you want to be in the top 1% of wage earners in the United States, make $740,000. Come on down. Then there's about 1.5% will be in there. The question is it households making $400,000 or individuals?
Right.
Because there's a big difference between those two. Yes. What's he
saying? He said two things. He said nobody making under $400,000 a year. And then he said anybody making more than $400,000 a year will see a small to a significant tax increase. Then his press secretary was asked to clarify that. And she said families, meaning combined income.
Oh, okay. All right. I was going to say, if you tax the households making it, you're going to get about $60 billion a year. That's how much you could possibly get. This is a 10-year plan. That's $600 billion. That's nothing. And there aren't enough people to possibly get it. So it's not about 400,000 because most be like, whew, shoo, I dodged the bullet. No, no, no. You're both filing combined. So you're making 200. He's making 200. You got $400,000. I saw a really interesting study. I mean, not a cry for these people, but they showed people living, you know, in San Francisco or where you live, Sherry, in Old Town Alexandria. There, if you combine two people making 200,000 each, it's not, and I'm, again, I understand it's all about perspective. By the time you pay taxes and rent and all this other stuff, a lot of people have not a whole lot of money left over because it is so expensive to live in some of those East Coast and West Coast cities. You find
that's
that?
That's exactly right. I mean, you're not really considered extremely wealthy if you make that kind of money if you're living in an area, especially if you have children and the children go to private schools or things like that. It's really like you said, it's all relative to where your real estate is.
Yeah. Yeah. When all of a sudden you're paying huge taxes of, like in New Jersey, when somebody could pay $14,000 or $40,000 for real estate taxes. Nutty. I was talking to my ex-wife today, and she, Paulette, lives in some old folks community. That's probably not the right term for it, but, you know.
Be careful.
I think it's called Geezer Town. And they don't have, her taxes are $1,800 a year because they don't have any schools. Because they said the schools are the big thing that cost them much. So she lives in this, like, you know, over 55 kind of thingamajigger. And there she is in this town. And the taxes are so low because they, I guess, they sterilize everybody. I don't know how they do it, but no kids.
When I lived in Baltimore, because the tax base is so low, there aren't a lot of people that make enough money. Our taxes were $28,000 a year. $28,000
on your house? On your house?
Yep. And my accountant called when we did our taxes. He called and he said, this has to be a mistake. And I said, it's not. That's what it was. It was crazy. It was crazy because they have no tax base there. None at all.
Right. So they got to whack somebody. All right.
Yeah.
How are we doing on a Friday? What do the roads look like, Tracy? Writing to us at MyNorthWest.com. Text as well at 98973. Welcome, one and all. Teeny tiny lady in that pickle jar is going to come by a little later on, choose the letter of the day, help out with Jacob. That's kind of her thing. She likes to drink on Friday. She says to me, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, and I see her throwing teeny tiny liquor bottles out of the top of the pickle jar. So God knows what she'll be like when we see her. This is I don't know who this guy is, but I just looked him up. Seems like a nice guy. Got an English accent that he gets points there. His name is Henry Cavill?
Cavill, I think. I think people just call him Cavill, yeah.
He looks like a Superman, and he plays Superman. He looks exactly like what you expect Superman to look like. And every interview that he does, it seems like everyone, all the women, are commenting on how good-looking he is to the point that he becomes annoyed with it.
And what's your favorite scene with him out of the entire process?
Ben's a very large man.
Yes,
that surprised
he is,
me the most.
Isn't he?
I was
You're
surprised.
A very large man.
thank you very much.
In a good way. In a
yes.
good way.
Thank you very much as well.
Coming
yes.
all
yes.
wrong.
I was going to say, sort of steady on.
I was writing, I continued to have Henry's voice in my head. And that's kind of an undeniable sign that it was meant for him.
I often have his voice in my head.
Different images.
This goes on, and it's sort of like if this was men talking about women, wouldn't everybody be all over these guys? But why is it that you can flip it around the other way?
Absolutely. It's such a double standard. If they were saying that about a woman, these guys would be, you know, in serious trouble. I mean, they're really going crazy over this guy.
Yeah, and I guess that it is always the double standard. I remember being in Washington, D.C. when John Wayne Bobbitt had the operation performed on
sure.
him by his wife.
Yeah.
And it was our television station that broke the story. And we had the trooper on that found his thing and stuck it in a hot dog bag that he had picked up at the 7-Eleven and filled it with ice. And I remember people making all sorts of jokes. I'm thinking to myself, like, can you imagine if you had like taken off a part of a woman and thrown it out the window and then stuck it in a hot dog bag? And it just
yeah, exactly.
Sort of like,
I mean, how is this not sexual harassment of this guy?
I mean, at one point near the end, you could tell he's sort of sick of it. I mean, Jacob, you must go through the same thing.
It's a curse, isn't it?
Fortunately, not famous enough to deal with it at the scale that he does. That's certainly true.
Oh, that's what it is. All right. And Sean, I notice you've been very quiet at this point because you two have also the cat calls that you receive on a regular basis.
Yeah,
right?
I get a lot of cat calls, especially from my little 13-year-old cat at home. Yeah.
But I don't think guys care as much, do they? Do guys really care?
Sherry,
if I got
Sherry, you should have just let that sit. Yeah, you should have just let that sit.
Sherry. Cat call me right now.
Say something to Sean.
Well, that would be weird.
Whatever.
We haven't met Sean in person, so I'm not sure if I should do that.
Oh, okay. Good answer.
Even over the radio, you won't get a cat call from somebody who can't even see you, Sean.
I know. It's pretty bad.
Hey, Sean.
Hi.
Look at Sean. Look at that. Okay, wow.
Tracy,
an engineer.
Tracy.
Let me just jump in here because.